you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
This podcast is not for the faint of heart, close-minded, bitch niggas, or people without a sense of humor. Please keep in mind that we do not condone violence of any sort. Our sole purpose of this podcast is to have fun. Please enjoy.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of
No Need for Apologies.
I'm Monroe Martin.
I'm Derek Gaines.
And we here with another quarantine episode for you.
Another quarantined ep for your stinking bored asses.
This is the second quarantine episode. First episode was Sam J. Now we got Ronnie Chang in his
Dang,
bitch.
All right.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
Thank
I'm not in Australia.
How is it in Australia? Is it what's the numbers? I haven't been following this shit like that.
It's like zero here. Nothing.
Wow.
What?
No, I'm just joking. No, I'm just joking. It's not good, but it's not terrible. You know.
I got you.
Numbers going up, but I don't want to speak on my ass here, but I feel like they're kind of getting it under control right now.
Okay, good over there. Maybe it'll happen over here.
Yeah, I mean,
it's there's
kinda,
no control over here.
I mean, first of all, this is
that's
the
America
in
a nutshell. Yeah, but I mean, Australia has kind of basically free healthcare, free education. They're very, for lack of a better word, kind of socialist kind of country. And when people fly in here, if you fly in from another country, they actually put you up for free in a hotel just for 2 weeks. But under police guard, they just go, okay, look, it's time to quarantine. So they took it, they're taking it pretty seriously. And they also have the kind of resources and the philosophy of the country is to take care of people. Yeah. So, you know, like social, like they give out social welfare. They give out, it's a pretty socialist country. So
I'm looking up tickets to Australia right now. So what part of Australia should I go to?
Australia sound like Australia sound like an independent bad bitch. She got her own. She got her own.
If you're black, that's the catch.
If I'm black, I don't get none of those perks?
Well, if you're born in Australia, you will. But if you're an African-American comedian coming to Australia, they love it if they know you're leaving. If you're coming here to stay, you might experience different Australia. But if you're coming here to do the comedy, or like a month, they'll love you.
I want to travel just so I know, because I've been to certain places and I'm like, oh man, they were so nice. Like I went to Italy and I'm like, Italians are so nice, but only because I'm visiting.
Yeah,
like I know when I become a citizen.
If you said you're moving in on the same block.
It'll be a lot of this and it'll be a lot of you, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's like any cable package. You know how like when HBO give you a free weekend, they throw all the Fly movies up. But if you actually get the cable, nothing but horse shit.
Nothing. When you finally move to Australia, it's nothing but Suicide Squad.
DC, the DC Universe. It's only DC Universe.
The Marvel shit when it's a free weekend. Or you go there and just mess around. But man, when it comes down to moving, nope. Mm-mm.
Wait, so when this shit broke out, did you like hightail it back to Australia or
Yeah, I didn't hightail it. I was here doing something. So
you straight.
I happened to be here and then all hell broke loose. Mm-hmm. And the thing I was doing actually stopped. And so me and my wife, we just decided to stay here because my wife is Australian. Yeah. I used to live here. So, you know, it felt very comfortable. And also it just felt like the more you travel, the more you increase your odds, you know, just by being on a plane and at the airport. And also I started hearing really nasty things about New York City. So I can only imagine what the hell you guys are going through right now.
Well, yeah, because I'm still in New York. This nigga ran back to mama's house like as soon as the number went up to 5, he was like, all right, Jersey, here I come. This motherfucker went right back to South Jersey.
I'm back in Little. I'm in the burbs, baby. I'm in my backyard chilling, bro. Ain't nothing happened to South Jersey. All of us in the house. Ain't nothing to do but be in the house.
I'm in Queens, so I'm in the epicenter, yo.
Yeah.
I'm like right next to Elmhurst Hospital. Right.
Yeah, Elmhurst, yeah. Corona. Like,
we hear ambulance go by probably like twice every hour. Yeah. Just like,
Are you born and raised in New York?
No, I'm from Philly. I should move back though, right? Just for a little bit.
No, but here's the question. It's like, how much do you feel like you have to live through this period in order to call yourself a real New Yorker? Like, good if point. You want in New York during this period, for whatever reason, whether by choice or by for work, do you lose the right? Like, Monroe, you get to call yourself a real New Yorker now.
Exactly. Because you know why that's right? Because I met people who lived here, who moved here like before 9/11, and they're like, I'm a fucking New Yorker because I was here during 9/11. It's like, shit, you're fucking right. Yeah. My first pandemic was in New York. I'm a New Yorker now.
Yeah, this is your 9/11.
Yeah,
you got this. Because I can't get that. Because my mother will not let me stay in New York. Like, I want to be honest with you, I kind of want to go back, but I can't.
Love.
My mom said, bring your black ass back here because I love you. So I was like, all right. She was like, you just got to stay at the house until New York opens back up. So I'll never be a true New Yorker because I'm a whole mama's boy. Man,
I love this shit.
But Derek, you in your neighborhood, can you get supplies or what?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, we can.
Oh, so everything's fine. You could go out there and play basketball.
My hood. You can play, no, they got toilet paper and the only thing they're missing is Clorox wipes, but we got everything on.
We're stocked up. I have a very smart wife. My wife's seen this shit coming because she works in the medical field.
Oh, damn.
So she's seen this all coming. And I'm just like, you know, I don't believe shit. I don't believe anybody. I'm like, it ain't that big deal. She like, go with me to Target. We're going to Target. We're buying some stuff. I'm mad. Like, why the fuck do we got to keep bringing this shit in the house? Damn. I'm like so grateful. I'm like, nigga, we got walnuts and oatmeal and little baby canned corns and shit.
You're eating better than ever. You're eating better than ever.
Yeah, man. You know what happened? Go ahead, bro.
I feel like I'm in prison, but with like really good commentary. You know what I mean?
No, like, moms. Did I tell you, moms got the box of like gourmet foods that come in like the plastic wrap that you just got to boil for 6 minutes, and you got yourself a whole gourmet meal and shit.
Dude,
I got like shrimp and grits, Dijon salmon, sesame chicken, short ribs with asparagus. Nigga, I'm over here living, boy. You understand that?
Damn.
How are you living though? How are you living out there, yo?
I'm okay because the neighborhood I'm in is actually really nice. It's by the water, and the restaurants are open for takeaway, and the supermarkets are open. So I can go out, buy takeaway, bring it back. I'm glad everybody's
still living.
Are you coming back, boy? So when are you coming back? Are you coming back before, like, are you on quarantine out there? Or is there like shut down for 30 days? Or is it like self-quarantine? Everybody,
it's like self. It's like, so it's like not, you kind of like take it upon yourselves to be responsible. Yeah. But only 2 days ago, they started like ramping it up. So now the police will fine you if you're in a group of more than two. If they see you in groups of more than two and you're not exercising, if you're just hanging out, they'll
come. That's so funny. Can't hang out.
So they're like, it better be a date. I swear to God, this better be a date or a workout.
Yeah, it better be a workout. So we all pretended to stretch as we're walking around, you know. And then, so they kind of ramp it up a bit. And it's really sad. You can see all these, you know, these businesses here, man. It's tough. You know? I feel for anyone like in New York City, if you open a restaurant, oh my God, the odds are against you from day one. This thing happens. You know, you get wiped out.
Yeah, man. It's super sad. I'm feeling sad about
here. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm with you.
I was about to say, good thing around here, most of our restaurants are drug front. So, They're doing fine.
They're going to stay open.
They're going to stay open. Only restaurants open are going to be drug front restaurants.
Yeah.
Drug fronts and that dumbass Taco Bell you got in your neighborhood. The Taco Bell I've seen in New York is in Rose neighborhood.
Yo, because where I live is very like mix a lot of Asian, a lot of Colombian, a lot of Indian. It's just me, my black ass. And it's just the Taco Bell. I'm like the Taco Bell in my neighborhood. Like, I don't belong. It's out of place. And they took all their chairs out, and, like, they only let, like, 6 people in at a time.
Oh, because it's too rough? Oh, no, called quarantine. Quarantine.
COVID. Yeah, because we're, like, people are really getting it around here.
Yeah. No, wow. It's horrible. I don't want to get political here, but I basically heard the governor, Cuomo.
Yeah. Yeah,
I heard him talk for the first time maybe 3 weeks ago on this. Man, yeah. he was killing it, man, at the press conference.
I think they definitely should have did a forced quarantine. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I definitely think they should have did that instead of, like, he's worrying about his pockets. Not his pockets, but he's worrying about New York's finances. Well, we'll bounce back because we're one of the richest cities, but we should be forcing people to kind of like be in the house for at least 2 weeks so you can slow this shit down because there's like places deep in Brooklyn, like in Brownsville, where they're just putting bodies in trucks and shit. And you got
bodies
in trucks. And it's just going to keep going up because people in New York do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah, so I mean, when I said I like his press conference, what I liked about it was that he said, like, he was very calm and reassuring, and he said, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're increasing the hospital sizes. We're building some makeshift hospitals, probably at the Javits Center.
Yeah.
Central Park.
Yeah, we have the Army Corps of Engineers coming in. We're building more hospitals.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing. We're increasing testing. We test the most of all the states in America. And then he said, listen, everyone's misinterpreting the numbers. People see the numbers go up and they get really scared. The truth is that the numbers increasing is a good thing because it means that we're identifying the people who have it and those people can stay the fuck indoors. If you don't know you have it, it's even worse. So he's saying that the more people we know have it, the better actually. And then he's saying that he put it in context with the flu. You know, he's like, this is how many people died of the flu. You know, he was very like, I don't know. I was watching that like, because before that, all we had was Trump.
Yeah.
And he's like a crazy guy doing, you know, on the microphone.
Yeah.
And I heard this governor. I heard the governor talk, and I was like, "Oh man, this is actually kind of reassuring." Like, you know, regardless.
Cuomo is definitely left. No one's gonna. I don't like. It ain't gonna be solved. So solved no time soon. I don't know shit. Really, I just get emotional a little bit, but yeah, he's a little bit more level headed than Trump.
Yeah, yeah. It just situation. Made me feel like someone in charge was like, okay, at least there's someone in charge who kind of knows what he's doing, or at least seems to know what he's doing, you know.
I think the most gangster thing he did, though, so I think it's Rhode Island that was saying that they're going to be stopping people with New York plates,
yeah.
And I questioned him and said, he was like, we will sue you. And I was like, I didn't even know we could do that. Like, let's do that shit.
Yeah, you know, that's the difference in America and Australia. Like, America is very, like, they value personal freedoms, you know, and it, like you said, New York is hard to, it's a hard city to be in charge of because people here, like, you know, New York is like people.
Yeah. You can't tranquilize New York. You just can't. Yeah, you can put all the trunks in New York. It's still going to come like, nah, I need my bacon, egg and cheese, nigga.
There's 200 people that came to see the Navy ship come in.
They was
with no mask. Right. Like, they ain't going to get sick. Like, they going to
So, you know, you say self-quarantine.
They're going to throw medicine from the boat. They're going to throw us some medicine from the boat. We'll be all right. They'll throw us a dust mask from
the
boat.
They're not even treating corona patients. They're treating people who don't have it because the hospitals are being flooded with corona victims.
Yeah.
I would rather fake corona. Like, if I got sick with something, I would fake corona, go in there, and then you'd be like, nah, it was just my chest. It was hurting.
Yeah. You can get an on-the-go MRI.
I got corona, but while I'm here, can you also look at this thing on my foot?
Since we're here, I might as well get the windshield wipers checked. Yeah,
you know. It's good. I got friends who are like pregnant and due. during this period, you know. That's that
did this, Corona push it back? But they not have birth
because of they push back the birth. Yeah,
no, you can't have birth.
Corona.
Can't.
Yeah, I got people who scheduled. Literally, I have a friend who scheduled brain surgery and pushed it back.
Wait. You got brain surgeon friends or people who were going to have brain surgery?
People are gonna have brain surgery.
Dang.
Yeah.
Damn.
And what they type pushed of friends
you got that getting brain surgery? I need to. I'll have any old of friends. Type of friends.
Boy, old friends. Is is the dude.
You're well-rounded. You got friends with brain surgeons and shit.
Yeah, I try to make friends with everybody. That's why I'm on this podcast, by the way.
Damn right. One of Ronnie Chang's ties is two pair of Jordans. That nigga was bad.
Oh, you talk about your dress game. Derek, I didn't think you were into suits. I'm a suit person.
I am, but I just don't wear them. I don't want to hurt this world too bad. Nigga, if I put on a suit with these square-ass shoulders I got, it's gonna be bad for everybody. Like, motherfucker, I'm giving everybody a chance to shine. Because if I really dress up, cut this hair, it's done.
It's done?
Yeah, what do you mean? You already dress up. You dress up already, man. You come in the cellar all the time.
Jackets.
Yeah, but you come in with like Supreme. You're rocking the freaking streetwear. Your streetwear.
Yeah.
Probably one of the best streetwear games at the cellar.
Thanks, man. But see, that's why I'm like, y'all got them suits. Because if I get into that world, me and Ro gonna be fighting every week.
I want to slim down and get some suits. Go ahead.
Yeah, but also let's be clear, the best streetwear game at the cellar is also like whatever. The cellar streetwear game is
yeah, it's only you, Syph, and Che.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. And Che and Syph kill me. Dude, Che and Syph. Nigga, did you see that Air Max, Syph's Air Max day, whatever? And he threw all his, he showed all his Air Maxes, like in a row. It was stupid. Yeah. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
You can't be a sneakerhead if you're 45. I don't give a fuck what you say.
He's a DJ, though.
Once you hit 45, you need at least five pair of hard bottoms. For every, for every 10 pair of Jordans you have, you need one pair of hard bottoms.
Dude, I don't know how you can be a sneakerhead in New York City. Like, how much money do you have to store that shit? Like, that's square footage, man.
It's the easiest place to get sucked into it because you got so many pockets of places where you can find some exclusive shit.
Exclusive shit.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Exclusive
shit. The supply is incredible, but the storage. I'm just talking pure storage in New York City. Like, man.
Well, have you been to these places? Like, I know, and I'm not talking about you, Derek, but I'm saying there's people who sacrifice furniture for their sneakers.
Yeah.
Who just have like a room full of sneakers and then like a crate to sit on. Like,
I got a shoe rack and no bed frame. I got a shoe rack. No bed frame. Nigga, do you hear what I'm just saying? I have a shoe rack, but no bed frame.
His mattress on the floor.
Yo, that's why we need some women on this podcast, because I want to know what a girl thinks when she walks into this guy's house, and it's fucking...
I mean, they still sleep with you, because they like sneakers, too. They lay right down, like, oh, your mattress on the floor. Oh, you got the new threes?
I really want to know what they think. Like, imagine coming home and like.
Because here's the thing.
No, I'm not even talking about you, Derek. I'm saying in general.
In general, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, no. Tell me what your experience. I wasn't trying to go at you. I'm just saying in general.
It's fine.
I don't know what this girl. But what were you? What were you saying? What do they think?
They find it. They actually find it as like very, it's very peaceful because I live in like a ducky room. So it's like it's low to the ground, but it's chill. I give nice vibes. So yeah, I vacuum.
Here's my theory, Ronnie. And here's my theory.
What's the theory, bro?
Women will find comfort. Women with goals will find comfort in a guy that's a sneakerhead before a guy that's not, because a guy that's a sneakerhead will not get you pregnant. He will do everything to not get you pregnant. He is proactive in contract. He buys condoms. Exactly. He buys condoms. He will invest in your birth control. Like, he's super safe because to buy three pair of sneakers is a lot, because you got to buy a baby sneakers. Then you got to buy your baby mama sneakers. You got to buy you sneakers.
You sneakers.
So it's a safer option.
It is a safer option. Theory. Good call, sir. Good call.
I want to see. Speaking of people's houses, I want to see I know you guys arranged your cameras so that we can just see the best part of your room, but I want
you guys. Well, this is my computer, but I'm living. I'm doing all right. Look,
that's cool. I love that poster. I love that.
This is my first time I ever headlined in New York. And yeah, I got the little Papa's on. My wife got me that. It's a Papa's on.
No. What? I can't see the Papa's on.
Right here. The great thing. That's a it's a chair. It's a actual like a love seat made out of bamboo. Got a bunch of little action figure posters. I did this office though.
How rich are you? You got an office in New York City, man.
Look, yeah, I'm not rich. Look, my wife is Hispanic in the area we live in. Hispanics only fuck with Hispanics. So if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have this.
Well, you got your own office. It's my dream to have an office in New York City.
Get the fuck out of here. You on a daily show. You got more than an office.
You a whole dude. On stage, I want office daily show.
Derek, let's see yours. What's that in the back?
All right, it's my mom's office. It's not even mine. This is where I'm at right now. I put all my dirty clothes in here. That's a little table and stuff.
No, what's on the right? What's that? What's that statue? What was that? This.
Table rare?
I want that. Yeah.
What is this?
It stretches your back. It hangs you upside down and it helps you stretch your back.
It's called a teeter. It's called like a tweet. Want that shit. Yeah.
Yeah. So my back is feeling good.
How rich are you? You got a whole room just for a piece of equipment that stretches your back.
Yeah, man. It's like, you know, like I did okay back in 2015. I made a lot of money. So I like invested in my mother's house. So there's all kinds of cool stuff in the house. Like I don't have in my room, but if you come to Jersey, it's all here.
For you, man.
Yeah, it was 2015 for him, 2016 for me. Now I go back to square one, baby.
Well, back to square one, man. Yeah, I think, I mean, I was worried about live touring, whether it come back, you know. But looking at all these people hanging out anyway, I'm just like, oh, yeah, I think it'll be fine. I think people will come anyway. People don't care. Like, I was walking around Sydney, and someone came up to me and said, hey, Ronnie, I'm a big fan. And I'm like, oh, thank you so much. And they're like, so are you in Sydney doing a show? Are you going to do a show? And I'm like, no one is doing shows right now. And she's like, yeah, but are you here to do a show? And I'm like,
yeah, no.
No, shows aren't happening. No one is doing a show. It may be forever. And she was like, oh, yeah. But, you know, we were just wondering if you were here to do one originally. And my point being that even in the peak of this, people are still like, oh, yeah, it's live. Yeah, you're going to do a live show? I will come. You
people
know, like,
so want to be entertained. Like, I wasn't doing comedy in 2007 and 8. Well, no, I did. But that's when the recession hit, right? Recession hit in 2007, 8.
2010.
It was 2010?
Yeah, 2009. Yeah.
It first started in 08, but we didn't feel that shit till like 2010. Because it was right around the housing crisis.
Yeah, Comedy Club, the Laugh House, and Helium were always packed, especially for people who didn't have no fucking money.
Yeah.
Right. Why is that? So what? So because I'm worried here that like people won't have the disposable income.
I think when you need a distraction, you'll figure it out because like, yeah, like I feel like it's more of a distraction. Like, and especially in times like this, you think that people are going to have something smart to say. So you're going to come out and you're going to be like, yo, they're going to have a good take. So you're going to go watch comedy a lot more to see who's speaking your truth.
Right. Especially post-COVID.
Yeah.
The post-COVID jokes. Get ready.
Is that still what people are waiting for? Damn, we're in the middle of a
post-COVID. No, because it's going to be like everybody's lifestyle afterward. I swear to God, when stand-ups get back on the mic, it's going to be how their life changed and how everything is going this way now. And this is how stand-up will be. It'll be like comedy post-COVID. It's like be a whole new style. Like everybody, it's like the new OJ.
Damn, I thought you said post-Kobe.
That's
I was like, Derek, damn, you're still you think of this as post-Kobe? What?
Goddamn. It kind of is. Because after Kobe died, everything went with it. Everything. Yeah. Everything. So I was like, all right. Yeah, so I get it. So
really think about it.
Post-COVID-19.
Post-Kobe, I was like, damn, that's what you think of this year as?
That shit still hurts, though.
I still go with post-Kobe. I think his death was the cause of all this shit. I think they released the COVID-19 virus for us to get over it and really take some time to sit in our houses and reflect on Kobe's death.
Yeah. That's how. That's the Black Mamba right there, man. You know. Yeah. Yeah, that's bad.
Oh yeah, he's a Philly boy. He's a Philly boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I mean, he's Lower Marion.
That's yeah, but he's Philly. Also he's actually more of an Italian guy than a Philly guy. He's more born and raised in Italy. He can speak Italian, you know. I think he didn't really fit in when he came back
because he was special.
Yeah, when he came back to Philly, I feel he didn't really fit in, and that's the start of the chip on his shoulder.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, if you don't walk around Philly with a chip on your shoulder, you won't survive. You have to. You have to have that energy, because then if you'll get swallowed up by that city. This is a very hateful city, man. Philly,
it's hateful. Philly is the hateful. Only city.
I'm shocked I made it. Shocked I made it in Philly.
Go ahead, Ronnie.
What do you mean you made it? What do you mean you made it?
I figured out the scene, and most of my friends are from Philly. And it's
You started in Philly.
Yeah.
I started with this nigga.
Well, Jersey don't have a comedy scene, so South Jersey don't have a comedy scene. Yeah, you either have to go to New York or Philly.
Yeah, why didn't you go to New York?
Because I needed to be close, because I started when I was 19. So, you know, my mom didn't really, you know, bang on me going all the way up to New York every night. And plus, I didn't know what I was doing anyway. So I knew there was the Laugh House in Philly. So that became my playground. Laugh House and Helium were opened up. And then there was a spot.
Go ahead.
Rascal, and this there was a comedy club in a hotel at in Cherry Hill called Rascals, and I used to go there, and that was my three spots, and I just kind of fell in love with going to those three, Rascals and the Laugh House, and then when Helium opened, it was them three.
19, wait. Damn.
Yeah. Sorry, what age did you start comedy, and you started in Australia?
I started in Australia. I was 24. Yeah.
Did you know, like, I feel like when you start comedy a little older, you have a stronger sense of self. Did you know what you wanted to talk about, but not know how to talk about it?
I definitely had a stronger sense of self than if I started at 19.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I wanted to talk about until maybe 3 or 4 years in.
Okay.
Yeah. What pushed you to comedy? Like, what's your life like, yo?
I don't know. It's just something I thought I could do, and I just wanted to confirm that. You know, I'm still trying to confirm that. But it's just something I was like, I think I can do this, and then I just wanted to give it a try. So I never performed in front of friends, you know, my whole thing was like, I feel like I can do this, and I'm trying to test that hypothesis, and the only way I can test it is if I perform to people who don't care about me. You know what I mean? If I'm with friends, it's like, so I never invited friends. I was always like just running around trying to in Australia. And in Australia, I started in Melbourne. And Australia is like, if you can do one gig, if you're doing one gig a week, you're like, oh my God, you're killing it. You're doing you're doing four gigs a month. Oh my God, you know.
Does that mean comedy is slow in Australia, like in Melbourne?
Yeah. So they got the, which you guys should look at this actually, Melbourne Comedy Festival, the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. And then we do comedy like a 1 hour a year. Every year you have a new hour. And you guys will call it like a one man show.
Yeah.
But we would just call it a comedy show. And that's the UK style. And Edinburgh Fringe Festival and the Melbourne Comedy Festival inherited it. It's like you do a 1 hour show. So the whole year you're building towards that
an
hour show. And then people come and watch you. They'll pay, you know, whatever, $10, $20, and they'll come watch you during the Melbourne Comedy Festival. No opener, it's you. You come out, you do a 1 hour thing. They'll sit, they'll listen, they'll give you some patience because they're there for you.
Yeah.
You do it for, you do 1 hour a day for like a month, every day. Every day you do 1 hour, you know. So this is
the Melbourne, and not that, because Edinburgh is like that too.
Edinburgh is like that too, But so Melbourne is about 1/10 the size of Edinburgh. Edinburgh is like this, you know, huge. I've done Edinburgh like 3 times as well. It's the same style.
Yeah.
You know, so, but that's how. So the consequence is that Melbourne comics, they kind of are not as, I would say they're not as killer as at the 5-10 minute sets like the American comics are, you know, because we don't focus on the 5-10 minute things. We focus on like trying to do an hour. for better or for worse. You know, some people shouldn't be doing an hour and they still do an hour, you know.
Yeah.
So, but I think the upside is that you kind of learn storytelling a bit better, you know,
how
to sustain for an hour. You probably learned that. But, you know, it's you need both, in my opinion. You need both. So I was kind of known as the guy who would do more like American style in that I wouldn't do like this whole story. I just try to do, you know, bits, shorter bits.
Yeah.
So my style by Australian standards, I'm more of a less of a storyteller. But by New York standards, I'm like a storytelling kind of comic, you know, by New York standards, because I'm not as I'm not.
It's about called long form.
Yeah, long I guess. Form yeah.
Which that's what I call y'all. I call y'all long form comic. I'm a long form comic.
Yeah, but story, I feel like all of us are long form. Like, there's very few short form comics.
Unless you're one liner.
Norman, yeah,
short form is one liner. It's like Norman is a one liner.
Norman, Joe List, Mackie, like all those Carmen guys Lynch. Are very like,
yeah.
Sam Morril,
short Sam, form,
Yeah, I mean, calling them one-liner doesn't do them justice, but I know what you mean by that. Those guys are punchy as fuck, man. Mm-hmm. You know,
like the jokes come quicker. Yeah, like they'll drop a joke. Like you'll probably laugh with me probably 30 seconds to a minute. With them, it's like 10. It's like 10 to 15.
They're the greatest example.
Yeah,
I will never take away from those comics you name because I think they're great. They're like typewriter comics. It's clack, set up, bang. And I go, okay. I can watch them and go, here it comes. But they're great, here it comes.
And they're the best at the here it comes, man. You know, they're like, you watch, like Norman is, oh my God, he's world class. You know, I think Joe List is world class. All these guys are world class, man. You watch
awesome comics.
Yeah, watching them is like, damn, these guys are, you know, like top of the game, man.
Yeah. What brought you to America before? Because I started hearing about you before the Daily Show thing.
Oh, really? Damn.
Yeah. I did. First, I heard about you in China when I did the Kung Fu comedy thing. You ever did that? And it was like, you know, there's this guy named Ronnie Chang, but he, and they kept, and I was like, and I'm always like, yeah, cool, great. Right. And then when they talk about niggas too much, and I'm like, okay, look, I don't care. But I heard about you there, and then I started hearing about you, like,
first of all,
in New York. And I was like, all right.
Damn, you went to China to do comedy. That's
yeah, Rose international. He's more international.
I go wherever, whoever pays me.
Right.
I go to
Australia.
I go to a war-torn area. And be like, what's up?
Hey, guys. What is that?
We all do comedy in Beirut. We go to Beirut or Darfur.
I tried to do the comedy in Australia. I think, I don't know. Like, you looked out for me. I think people, like, move slow. They move at their own pace. And it'll happen when it happens, but, man.
Okay. Now the climate's weird now, but let me put in another. I'm trying to get all you guys down to the Australia. Honestly, I'm trying to get all the black guys to Australia. I want to see what you guys think about it. I'm trying to get Godfrey to come. Godfrey wants to go all the time. You got Derek. Guys, I'm your dude, man. If you want to hook up to Australia. All right,
dude. I'm trying to go. When it all opens back up, if the world opens back up, I'm down. Because now I got to travel. Because now I know everything.
That was like one of the first things.
Now you know life is fragile. And you need to travel.
I got to do everything. Yeah.
I think even before we interact, I see that you like care about comedy, not just comics, but comedy. You like seeing comics move around and work, and you like to see that. Is that how it is over in Australia? Is that like, do comics are like, yo, you'll be good for this. I'll recommend you for that.
I think so. I mean, I always feel like, the good comics are always envious but not jealous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can be like, oh man, he got that. Man, I wish I got that. But you're never like, oh man, he got that. Fuck, I wish he didn't get it and I got it. You know, like that's jealousy. You know, like envious is like, oh damn, I wish I could get it. So I don't know. I always feel like you know, Alan Havey always said, like, we're in it for ourselves, but we're in it together. Like, I don't know. I feel like we, because we get it, you know, people don't get this, man. Like, we get it. We get how hot it is. Yeah. We get, like, if someone, all you need is someone to kind of believe in you a little bit, and then you, you know, some cool stuff can happen from there. Like, it, and it kind of, everybody wins a little bit, because if you get something, like, if I'm not suitable for it and then you get it, and because you're suitable, you succeed more than I could have succeeded, then maybe you'll create more jobs from that. But if I had got that thing,
that's what I'm trying to do.
It would just end there, you know? So I don't know. I always just feel like trying to help people out when you can. And it's tough, you know, it's tough to help them out, because you can't guarantee bookings as a comic, and you can just make introductions and push and all that. But you know, I we all get it. When we were starting out, we just needed someone to vouch for us.
Yeah.
Having someone vouch for us was like, oh my God, it was amazing. It was like, this guy, he vouched for me, so now I can come on this stage, which is a little bit better.
What was the best vouch you ever got? What was the vouch that you was like, yo,
The vouch that helps me, like, ignore all the haters is Bill Burr saying, like, was Bill Burr saying, yeah, man, you're funny.
Oh, and, word. That's dope.
He that's was.
Dope. You got a Bill Burr. Was,
I got the Bill Burr tip of the hat. He out of the blue, he messaged me on Facebook, on my Facebook page. Yeah. So Bill Burr account, you get a direct message in your, imagine your Facebook page, right? Yeah. You open up one day, there's a message in there from Bill Burr, and the profile picture is a car. Yeah. So you're like, this could be anybody, right? It could be fake Uber, you know. And he messages, and he just says, like, while I'm in Australia, he goes like, hey, man, just watch one of your sets. It was super funny. Just want to let you know. And hope we can work together someday. And I was like, damn, there's no way this is Bill Burr. This is some fake account.
Did you respond?
Yeah, I responded, but I was gonna be like, oh, fuck you, you know, you're not Bill Burr. But in my head, I was like, you know what, I can't live with, if this was Bill Burr and telling him to fuck off, I can't live with being trolled, you know, I can live with that. But if it was actually Bill Burr and I told him to fuck off, I couldn't live with that. So you know what, I'm just gonna pretend it is. So I said, oh, hi Bill, thanks so much. I'm a huge fan of yours. By the way, I live in Australia, so I don't know if I ever get to work with you, but you know, hopefully if you come down here, I will. And then he said, actually, I'm coming to Australia next January. I hope you can be on those shows. And I was like, oh my God, yeah. And then I didn't message him. We didn't speak for months. Yeah. And then leading up to his tour, I got this message from him saying, hey, come to this entrance of the theater. And I'm still like, this guy he's got me on the hook. But he's I'm like, just going to go anyway.
Rob me.
Because I got no confirmation. And anyway, I showed up. Yeah, I showed up. And then he was in the green room. I was like, until that moment, I thought this whole thing was fake. And then he was super cool. You know, we toured around Australia. And I'm a huge Bill Burr fan. And I still am. And then he had this thing where he told me, like, he said all he wanted was George Carlin to say he was funny. But Carlin passed away before he kind of blew up. So I don't know if Carlin knew of him or whatever, but he said, ah, damn, that's the only guy I wanted to tell me it was funny. And then I said, like, well, you know, this is kind of like my Carlin moment right here. And he said, yeah, man, you're funny. Like, don't worry, man, you're funny. And I was like, fuck yeah. And then after that, it was like all these haters coming in. I'm like, it doesn't even matter. Like, Bill Burr thought it was funny.
That's dope.
Like, you know? Like, just something like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just something like that is so cool.
Yeah.
Like, imagine, I mean, I'm sure you guys love Bill Burr too. Oh, whoever it is, you guys came in and just said, man, that's funny.
Hamburger. If Hamburger said I was funny, I'd be set for life.
Yeah.
If Bobcat say I'm funny, nigga. If Bobcat go,
Bruce.
Yeah.
What's intense is that, like, you know, the cellar table in that context, people aren't vulnerable and they aren't nice, you know, in that old school context. So imagine sitting around, I don't want to name names. I've been around some of those legendary comics and man,
there's some that are good. Like I fuck with Ray Romano.
Oh, he's the best.
I never opened for Ray, but like, this was like, I think a couple, like right after Last Comic Standing, we were sitting at the back table and he was like, you were last time I was like, yeah, he was like, funny shit, man, real funny shit. And I was like, huh? Thanks. And I just went outside and walked around because none of y'all were there. Like, Derek wasn't there. None of my friends are there. So that's I was like, thanks, man. And I just got up and left. Because I was like, what are you saying?
It's good for y'all.
Yeah.
Because I never got the tip of the cap from nobody. I only got advice from Patrice O'Neal within 2 weeks of me moving to New York. And that's all I needed.
Yeah. But that's the tip of the cap.
Yeah. Because I was like, all right. And then I just kind of went at this dude that didn't really give a fuck. Because Patrice gave me the keys. So I was like, whatever happens, it's because this dude told me to do these three things. And I was like, all right. Exactly. So I never got the tip.
What were the three things he told you to do?
I remember when it happened. Cypher Sounds was having a show at Comics on 14th and 9th. Don't get gas. And I was brand new to the city. So I was just there watching. And then Patrice got up and he got a standing ovation and he sat down the whole time. So I was like flabbergasted. I was like, what the fuck? This dude is a wizard. So Sife introduced me to Patrice and says, yo, this is my boy Derek. He live out in Jersey City. So, you know, that's where he at. So Patrice was like, oh, you live in Jersey City, little nigga? I'll give you a ride home. I don't give a fuck. And so, what? So he gave him a ride home. And now I know Patrice is the bully. The only thing I've heard from this dude, me young in the game, is he a bully of comedy. He's this pit bull that's like brash and he's just like brutally honest. So I was like, oh, man, I'm in the car with a goddamn goon. I don't want to say nothing. So I was scared, but he dropped me off. And right before he dropped me off, I got up enough balls to go. I was like, Patrice, this was before you moved, my bro. This is when it was just, I was like, Patrice, any advice you can give to a young nigga trying to make it out here? And he said, I'll never forget. He said, I'm done. I don't like comedy, man. I'm old. I'm about to die anyway. That's what he said. And he said, I guess write prolific shit. Get on stage, get the fuck out of my car, man. Like, why are you in my car? Like, he was looking around like, why are you still here? And then I got out, and then he pulled his U-turn, and then he was like, I was like, I guess that's it, because he was arguably the best at the time. Yeah. So I was like, did the best just tell me what to do? I don't need anything else. And I was within 2 weeks of me moving to New York. So that's why I never stopped. So I never got the cap, but I was like, at least if I take Patrice's advice, it'll come around one of these days.
Yeah, but how huge is that? And also, I always think like all these comics, you never hear them publicly criticize another comic, you know, unless it's like joke stealing, which obviously you got to do that. But my point is like you never hear like Seinfeld or Chappelle or Ray Romano or anybody like review another comedian, like go, oh, that joke.
Corny. That's corny because it's like comedy is subjective and not everything is funny to everybody. So, and you can't shit on that. Yeah.
Yeah. And my point is like, they understand how tough it is for anyone to make it. They understand different styles. And so because they have so much love for it, they don't hate on it. And that's kind of all, in some ways, that's all we have because there's not a lot of money in this game unless you can, you know, you can figure it out. Shit.
Unless you can generate fans,
so all we want is the tip of the cap, so that's huge. So when they go, you know what I mean, like they're not gonna come in like if they I'm willing to bet that they saw someone they comedy they didn't like, they wouldn't say anything. They just like, you know, you get this, you'd be the I don't want
absolutely.
You see something you like, you say, oh man, nice job, you know, you give them the kudos, like fuck, that's
yeah,
that's
man great. Like you remember Seinfeld, Chris Banya, you remember Banya? He was the dude at the comedy club that was corny, but he was always asking for Seinfeld's help. Chris Banya, and Seinfeld hated talking to him. Like, oh, God, here comes Banya. Now he's going to remember the Ovaltine joke. Why don't you call it round team? Go, Jerry. Go.
Damn. Go, what happened to him?
Go. Banya, he was an actor. I don't think he was a real comic. But,
Wait, is he the guy? Are you talking about John Boyega, the guy in Star Wars?
No, Chris Banya. That was his character's name in the show.
But he's talking about the actual Seinfeld show, not the documentary. The documentary, that was
a character who was a corny comic who thought he was funny.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember Chris Banya.
And he would always ask Jerry for like advice, and Jerry hated talking to him because he was corny. But Ronnie, I get you. Because in this game, it'll teach you to appreciate small shit. Because there's so much small shit on the way up. Like me and Ro and all the gang, we used to hustle for slices of pizza.
Yeah.
Yo, did you ever have those moments? Did you ever have those hookups? because we used to like not even small slices of pizzas. We used to like hang out in the village after getting no spots, or maybe like we get like one or two spots, and we would walk over to Insomnia Cookies, and somehow they got cool enough with us. They would give us a box of cookies,
like the leftovers.
It'd be like 24 warm ass cookies in that.
Jesus.
Thing.
You got free cookies on Insomnia Cookies? Yo, that's all they do. Yeah. That's not even the side hustle. That's their main business. They gave it to you.
5 a.m. You had to wait till 2:45 a.m. to get the free box.
They'd be like, yo, y'all Insomnia. Those comedians, right? We'd be like, yeah. They'd be like, come back here around like 2-something. We got you. And we'd be like, all right. We come back, warm-ass cookies, little bottles. Of milk. We would ask for milk. They'd be like, all right, you doing too much.
You guys got them babies over here asking for milk and cookies.
Yeah,
so funny. Look, they would that was our like our feast before we all got on the train because we was gonna go to sleep with just that on us.
Yeah.
So he was like, "Yeah, man, let's enjoy this." And yeah, man, the small stuff. So getting a tip of the cap from a comic you admire, I dig that. Because I wish I still want to get one of these from Chappelle. I still want
everybody's waiting for that shit, nigga.
I just want that from Chappelle. That's it. That. If Chappelle go, I did it, and I don't want nothing else.
So go ahead. Oh, so
no, I was gonna say I got a tip of the hat from Chappelle too.
Motherfucker! Look, all these damn tips. I'm about to move to Australia, nigga.
I know.
Hey man, I opened for Chappelle in Australia as well, so I got to meet him there. He was super cool.
How long were you doing comedy in Australia before you got over here?
I was doing it for, what was it? I left in 2015. So I was doing it for 6 years, Yeah. I was pretty lucky, man. I caught a good wind and, I was able to do like, I could do like 1,000 seat theaters about maybe 3 or 4 years in. Four years.
Oh wow!
I don't say that's luck, yo. I think luck is just you minimizing your success. It was you were prepared. You took it a lot more serious than what people. I look at it like there's when you're doing open mics. There's people who are taking it serious, and there's people who are still trying to figure it out, so they're having a little bit more fun. And the people who
are
serious get shit a little bit quicker because So yeah, I don't really see that luck shit.
Yeah, I got lucky. You know, I'm lucky that people got behind what I was dealing out. You know, and I was lucky that I had some good management. And no, I don't know. I couldn't have done it alone. That's for sure. So I'm always trying to always trying to pay it forward. You know,
the only way comedy survives. So you also fight.
Well, Eric, are you okay, man? What's going on?
I'm trying to find a light. I'm trying to find the light.
Yo, it took you at least 10 minutes to find the light.
I'm charging my phone. The only charge socket available is the one on the wall. So I had to reposition all my shit.
Behind you. Phone. The light is behind you. You need it in front of you.
Right? Hold on.
Because if behind you, it creates a shadow.
But then if it's like that, right?
That's not in front of you. That's on the side of you.
Hold on.
All right, there you go. Derek, thank you. For a person that's been on TV a lot, they don't like you from behind.
I forgot so many times I'm on TV because nobody watches that shit. So don't worry about it. Don't nobody watch that.
Yo, by the way, the show is great, man. I watched it. I watched the first season of it. I haven't seen the second season yet. But the real OG.
I'll be. Thanks, Ronnie Chang. Super funny. I appreciate that.
Yeah. You guys were great. When I saw you come out, I didn't know you were in it. I think, and I saw you guys come out. I was like, "Yeah."
Okay, word.
Yeah,
that's dope. Appreciate you, Ronnie Chang. Good.
You do. I'm getting back to my question because I don't think we have that much time left. What do you do? You do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or some shit?
Uh-oh.
What was it? Yeah. I know. I always see this motherfucker on Instagram. Just got done choking somebody out, like.
Yeah, just do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I used to do Wing Chun. I used to be a Wing Chun guy. I did it for
I want
to
be a Wing Chun guy. You didn't show me some of that.
Is Wing Chun the Bruce Lee shit?
Yeah, Bruce Lee learned it. Yeah, Bruce Lee learned it. And then he took it and adapted it to his own style. But he started with Wing Chun. Yeah.
What's the art of Wing Chun? Isn't Wing Chun like like, what's the art of it? Because every martial art is like a different thing. Where they'll be like, well, we use our legs and we just headbutt motherfuckers.
You would like it. We just headbutt people. That's what's that style? Philly style?
Yeah, this is just grab a person by the face and go bam.
Yeah. By the way, Philly is the only city in America where I've had to kick people out of the show. So I know. Yeah, I did that. It's my whole thing with Philly was like, man, this is the only city where comedy here is rough, man.
Tell us about that. What happened? What did they do? Yeah.
Did you actually kick them? Or did you just got them out of there?
So me, I was with my, I love Anthony Moore. So he was like opening for me. He asked, I would never ask Anthony to do anything like, you know, open for me or anything. But he said, hey, do you mind? Cause I know you're doing Philly. I'm from Philly. Do you mind if I come and be on the show? I'm like, yeah, of course. If you want to. Yeah, that'd be amazing. So he came, he opened, he killed it. I came out and I was doing okay. And there was a table, like stage right. There was a table that two guys were like talking the whole show. And so like 10 minutes into the show, I just kind of looked at them a little bit, you know, and then they kind of quieted down and I didn't say anything. I just looked at them and then just kept moving, you know, just trying to play it a little calmer, you know, and then, 3/4 into the show, they're still talking, and then I just finally, I'm just like, guys, I know. Look, you know, I've got like 10 minutes left here. Let me just do this, and then we can go. You've been talking the entire show. Are you guys okay? And then they were like, "Yo, just do your joke."
I hate that.
Yeah, and then I'm like, look, I can't do, I'm trying to do the jokes here, but you guys are talking the whole time. It's actually interrupting me. And then I didn't know that the whole table was one table. I thought it was just two guys. Then a woman on a table just goes, the opener was funnier than you. And then go like, yeah. And I'm like, because I'm lucky that, anyway, I've learned how to deal with people a bit more. I'm a bit calmer now. You know, I'm not like a angry person.
I used to go
at people. And then now it's like, I just Tai Chi it.
Yeah.
So when they come and, you know, they're like, the opener's funnier than you. And I'm like, yeah, I just go with them. I'm like, yeah, you're right. The opener is funnier than me, because I genuinely believe that as well. I'm like, Anthony Moore is killer. he killed it. I'm just trying here. You know, I suck. Maybe, you know, maybe you should just go. Like, you know, just make it like, yeah, I suck. I know I suck. Yeah. And I'm just trying my best here. Maybe you should leave. And then they're like, you suck, but keep going. That's what
they
literally
said. They were cheap and they didn't want to like.
No, I don't know why. I think they took it back. They expected that Philly, I don't know, that they expected me to get hurt or upset.
Yeah. And
because, you know, comics are actually, we think we suck more than anyone. No one, you know what I mean? Like, we think our material is terrible. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Only Sam Morril said it best. Like, only hacks like that joke. Like, for us, we're like, this sucks, man. I've been doing this over and over again. Like, you know, my material is not. Yeah. So when someone tells us we suck, I'm like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I do suck. Like, I know. So I just went with it. And then they just kept escalating it. And so I just said, hey, maybe you guys should go. Like, I don't think I'm going to win you back. You know, you're not, you're clearly not enjoying yourselves. And so the staff came and kicked them out. And then as they're leaving, they're like, why don't you come down here and make me leave?
Oh,
and then
I'm like, okay.
And then I'm like, man, you want me to come down there and make you stop laughing at my jokes? Like, what are you talking about? and so they ended up leaving. And they're like, welcome to Philly, buddy. And it was just like the whole table was like, and this is Punchline. It's a big room and I didn't fill it out.
That sounds like some Punchline stuff.
Yeah. And so that was my whole Philly thing. I was like, damn, these guys are, you know, that's the only time in America I had to kick people out of the show.
Really? God damn.
Yeah. In the UK, Philly. I kick people out every single time I go there. But Philly, man.
Were they white? They were white guys?
I don't know. They were definitely white, but they could have been Italian, you know.
Mummers.
Mummers are Irish.
Oh, I remember. I take it back.
It's an Irish parade.
It is? Oh, wow. I knew it was a bunch of white people in chandeliers. Just dancing around in chandelier costumes, looking like fucking MC Hammer pants. That's when white people wear hammer pants, so I thought it was a giant.
Shout out to Punchline Philly staff for handling that. You know, they had my back. Punchline
Philly. Well, they don't get paid that much, so they can't wait to fight. So. So you did him a favor. And it was like, yeah, by the time I get the stress.
Yo, shout out to all the black comedy club bouncers in New York City. Those guys are here. In my opinion, every time I come into New York Comedy Club or the Cellar, I'm always like, you guys are the hero.
They are. I think they're the most hilarious people at the comedy club because they don't take no shit from customers. And it's so funny to watch.
They are so funny to watch. When they throw people out, I'm always
shout out to Calvin. Shout out to Big Steve.
Thank you. Soiree, Mel.
Dude, those guys at New York Comedy Club.
You ever come to, you got to actually hang out. When you like are cool with them, it's different. Like they, it's like a protection.
Yeah.
Shout out to Mel, Sean, all of them motherfuckers. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm cool with all of them. Yeah, Sean's great. I love all those guys. You know, so I talk to them offline. You know, I talk to them online when I'm not at the club all the time. And
I love. What made you start taking martial arts? What made you go from Wang Chung to Jiu-Jitsu? I said Jiu-Jitsu.
I just love martial arts. I just wanted to learn a skill when I was an adult. I was like, in my 20s, I was like, I want to be 30 and I want to know something, you know, I want to know like this skill. So I started learning it and then just love it. Just love martial arts, man. It's a great like mental health thing, physical.
Yeah.
I injured my shoulder doing Wing Chun, so I couldn't do it anymore. And so I started doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and I got to tell you guys, man, it's great for mental health, man.
But can you, because I don't know shit. I don't know if our listeners are into martial arts, but what's the like? So jiu-jitsu is grappling and a lot of tossing, and Wing Chun's a lot of like hitting.
Wing Chun is Wing Chun is off punching and close.
I want that. That's what I want because I got close long reach. If I could do that Bruce Lee shit with all this wingspan, boy.
Oh, yeah, it's very close. It's very. It's like the Wing Chun operating. It's like here, you gotta be this close to people.
Right. You and gotta fight.
Wait, hold on, Derek. Hold on, let him talk. So, what do you mean?
You gotta be this close, like a Wing Chun. Okay, so for example, like Taekwondo is a long range one where you're trying to kick someone from keep them at distance to kick them. Yeah. Wing Chun is like you're trying to get up close to motherfuckers so that you can fuck them up, and it's striking, and there's not a lot of like high kicks. So it's, in a sense, it's very practical.
Yeah.
It was the legend is that it was created by a woman. And so because of that, it's not reliant on strength. It's a lot of, it's a lot of like, it's that cool, like arm hand trapping stuff. You can trap people's hands. Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of idea, you know, that's basically the idea of it. So, it's very practical. You guys will like it. Like, it's not like based on like an animal or like, you know, it's no like abstract.
Drunken monkey.
Like, it's not that. It's very practical stuff. So, you know, in Hong Kong, they were doing it on rooftops. It's really cool. It's real cool, like urban martial arts. Like, they did it, you know, they developed in apartment rooms in Hong Kong, you know, where the city is built like New York City. People will fight on rooftops for real. Like, like they will put it to a test, and so, you know, if it didn't work, it was cool time, man. In the 70s in Hong Kong, people were doing Wing Chun. That's where Bruce Lee came out of, you know, where people were doing Wing Chun on rooftops. It was like people fighting all the time on rooftops. It was fun, man.
That's so cool.
It was fun.
Did you do tournaments?
No, there's no tournaments. And you might like this. Wing Chun, there's no belts. There's no belts, man, because as soon as you touch hands, you know. As soon as you touch someone's hands, you know, oh, this guy knows what he's doing. You know what I mean? So there's no need for belts. There's no belts. There's no, you know, it's very.
That's my.
Yeah. You know, you wear.
That's my shit.
Wear a t-shirt. You don't wear a shirt. You're just training there, whatever. It's very like.
See, that I feel like I'll be getting gypped. Like if I'm going to a Wing Chun school and they're like, ain't no belts. I'm like, so how I know you teaching me the real shit? Nigga? I need levels.
That's the thing about martial arts everywhere, you know, it's that because you walk into these schools and you're immediately kind of holding these people in high regard. Yeah. You don't know what the fuck they're teaching you. And that's why the lineage is so important. You want to know where he learned his shit and you want to know where. And so that's why people care about in Chinese martial arts, they care who your teacher was or who your teacher's teacher was, because it's like, oh, where they come from, you know?
Oh, so it's like improv. It's like, oh, you yeah, where you learn?
The lineage. Yeah. And some people lie, man. Some people lie about it. Like, I got caught in a lie for 1 year. I was learning Wing Chun for 1 year with this guy who, and it was like, oh, it was completely fake.
wait. You got caught in a lie, meaning you were lying?
No. I went to learn from this guy who taught Wing Chun, and he was never super clear about where he learned it from.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
But I was learning from him, and I always felt something was missing, because part of the Wing Chun system is the wooden dummy. You know, that you learn how to use that thing. And so he never taught that. And so I was always like, maybe it's just one of those things where he doesn't.
That's in the movies. You got to teach the wooden thing.
Maybe it's just a movie thing. You know, maybe I'm just making
Jackie
too much
Chan
of it.
Did it.
And then I went to another school or another Wing Chun school just to see, you know, just to see what happened. Yeah. And that guy was, he knew his teacher was the guy in Hong Kong, Yip Man. You know, Yip Man, the movie, Yip Man. He had lineage from that guy, and he taught everything. He taught and he was also a good guy. You know, he wasn't like an arrogant person. And so I went to that school. I never went back. Mm-hmm. And so the lesson learned from that was just like, you gotta experience more things and keep your, you know, so that you open your eyes and you can see. Because if you never left that one school, you never know. Just like if you never left that one comedy club, you'll never know. You know, if you never left that city, you never know. You never know. You never know.
So we're just going to stay on that type of thinking. So what else are you exploring? Because like you said, you wanted to learn something as an adult before you were 30. So what else are you exploring besides fighting? Like, and comedy. I'm saying, are you learning different languages? Are you like
comedy? Like, yeah. Comedy and martial arts take up most of my time.
That's good.
But the one thing about I gotta tell you about the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is that I started doing it, and it's great exercise. You work out aggression, and mental health. It's like meditation. But one of the coolest things for us is that as traveling comedians, every city you go to in the world has Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, man. Every city. If you go to Syracuse, there's a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu school. If you go to Gold Coast, Australia, there's a Jiu-Jitsu school. So when you're on the road, you can still train. It's the best, man. I'm telling you, you guys got to try.
Yeah.
And you guys are big guys as well, you know, like you'll love it, man. It's like wrestling.
I think my problem would be if I was ever to like really do it, I would want to use it.
That's
that Philly shit, bro.
Yeah, but that's but that's the beauty of jiu-jitsu, is that you can spar at 100% every training. Because you're not punching people, you can just spar at it. And that's why people like it. It's because you can go for it every single. You know, you're not learning something and you're never using it. You're gonna use it every single class. You're gonna go for it. Yeah. I highly recommend you guys try it. You'll definitely get corona. You'll get corona for sure, because it's like you're like this.
You're getting staph infections. Yeah. Like, it seems like you're getting whatever is in that gym.
Yeah, you'll get everything that and you'll become stronger for it.
I don't know. I'm very vain when it comes to stuff like that. Like, for a while, I was looking for like martial art things, but a lot of these gyms in Queens look small, and I'm like, if you struggling, imagine what my martial art's going to be like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I would go to these places, and it'll be as big as my living room, and they're like, it's only $200 a month. I'm like, for what?
Yeah. But jiu-jitsu, at least you because so many people do it, you can tell who's legit, who's not legit. And also, like I said, man, just if you're on the road, and every city I go to, my first thing is Google the local jiu-jitsu gym, go in, do a class, go back, have a nap, do the shows.
Yeah.
You know, it's the best.
Let's go. Man.
Yeah.
That is real dope.
So you're a very angry person.
I don't know. I think we all have it, right?
To some degree.
Yeah. We all have it in us. It works out aggression. I don't know what's like in Philly. Are people angry or they're just violent without being angry?
No, I think the anger and the violence go hand in hand in Philly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I've never seen it not to want to. Yeah, I'm like thinking. I'm like, well, I've never met a person who wasn't violent. And yeah, I'm like, in Philly, it's a beautiful place. I like it, but there's, you shouldn't fuck with people. Like I'm like,
yeah,
I'm
no,
not out there. Man.
Philly, even me, even me throwing out those people, like I felt scared, and I was like, what the fuck? Like these people are dicks, and I didn't even do anything, and I'm feeling like I'm, you know, but. Anyway,
how many did they wait for you? Were they outside waiting for you, no, or did they leave?
No, they weren't. I thought they would be, but they weren't. They weren't. So, and the staff were like, "Oh, we'll take care of you. You know, like don't worry." And then
they were ready.
Staff was ready.
Ready to go. They was ready to go.
The staff was good, man. But Punchline Philly, well, I think they're Live Nation, and they the guy running it actually told me he's a good guy. He was like trying to hook me up with like indoor golf, like virtual golf, and then
at Dave and Buster's.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. Some guy opened up this like 3-story building where the first level is a bar and the second story is just virtual golf.
Oh, wow.
In Philly? Anyway,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he told me like he was at the end of the run, at the end of my weekend, the manager of the Punchline was like, "Hey, was there anything any feedback you want to give the club to make it better?" You know, like all these A rooms in America have very similar characteristics, man. Like they're all like comic focus. They know how to run a good show. That, you know, like they know how to like make a room with less people look fuller, you know, like it's just, so anyway, it's always a real pleasure in America to go to a club and be like, man, these guys know what they're doing. There's a history here. You know, it's fun to do comedy in this room. People want to be here. Like, guys, I'm sorry. I might have to go soon, man. I'm sorry.
I know. We're looking at the thing, too. I was trying to see, like, I was trying to wrap up a while ago. Yeah. But, we did that shit. Yeah.
We did that shit.
Thank you. Thank you so much for doing the podcast, man. I'm glad Ronnie, you chose our podcast. I told you it was very loose. And we just talk shit, and it goes wherever it flows, baby.
For sure. I love you guys, man. Hopefully we can be in the same room together soon.
Yeah, man. Just no coughing.
Yeah.
No coughing, no sneak, none of that. None of that.
Mm-hmm. Wash your hands. Yeah.
Yeah. But man, anything you want to plug?
No, I'm good.
No, all right, everybody.
Everything's gone. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Ronnie Chang, he's on the Daily Show. He got a Netflix special called Asian Comic Destroys America, right?
Yes, sir. Asian comedian destroys America.
Asian comedian destroys America. I'm Monroe Martin. You can follow me at Monroe Martin III on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
I'm Derek Gaines. You can follow me at The Great Boy. And remember, you can get yourself a copy, a digital copy, or not a physical copy. I don't think I got CDs out. But no, go online and get Fuckboy Ground Zero. It's on all platforms, iTunes, and your titles and all that. And have a good listen in this quarantine.
Oh, yeah, shit. And we got merch. Sorry, Ronnie, we doing all this. And we got merch. We got T-shirts. We got hoodies. Go buy that shit, yo. Go buy
get yourself
it.
The new edition, quarantine edition hoodie or T-shirt with me and Monroe. We're in the quarantine, and the backdrop is an empty Times Square. And have a good time with that. It goes with everything. Ladies and gentlemen, hit it, Monroe.
This has been another episode of
No Need for Apologies. I'll talk to y'all soon. I'll talk to you.